This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wang Xiaoning and Roshan Kanison. It is 6 o'clock in the morning, Thursday the 9th of January, and we're this much closer to another weekend, guys. I'm already looking forward to it. Not to say that I don't enjoy being in studio with you, but, you know,
the weekend. Everyone enjoys the weekend, unless you're some sort of, some big-time workaholic, right?
I'm more concerned about the fact that she had to point out that it wasn't us, because did you think that we thought it was us?
I don't know, maybe. Or maybe I'm just trying to deflect you from the actual reality in which it is you.
Interesting.
Well, so deep. I'm confused, guys.
Well, but maybe this 2020, she's trying to cut us out of her circle of friends. I mean, motivational speaker Jim Rohn once said that you are the average of the five people around you.
And, y'all are the five.
Correct. There are four people in studio right now.
Yes.
We'll be seriously talking about this, though, in about 10 minutes. In about 20 minutes, whether we should be taking a look at our friend circles in 2020 and whether there is a way to, I don't know, improve your social environment so that you get those habits done in 2020.
In other words, whether you should be cutting people out of your life.
Inspired by you, Lin Mark, you started this conversation.
Well, deep, guys. I'm just going to ask the question about when do things go overboard, and when should common sense prevail? That's my big question of the day.
You know what they say about common sense, Xiaoning? It's not very common.
Yes, not at all.
Well, if you want to weigh in on those conversations, remember you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, though, we're going to be discussing what kind of essential skills you'll need to succeed heading into the 2020s. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin, Xiaoning and Roshan. That was Why Does It Always Rain on Me by Travis, and it's a question that I always ask myself.
And my advice, Lin Mark, carry an umbrella. Or if that's too much trouble, get a raincoat. Because I was listening to those lyrics, and I'm like, just pull out an umbrella. Maybe it won't rain on you anymore.
Or just don't go out in the rain. Just don't. Just stay indoors where it's nice and comfortable and air-conditioned.
I don't think the song is meant to be taken so literally, right? Yeah. You guys, I don't think it's about that. But never mind.
But didn't Gene Kelly make Running in the Rain look so fun, though?
Singing in the Rain.
Same thing.
Okay, well, anyway, that aside, this morning we're taking a look at an article in the Financial Times. It's very on the nose. It's talking about what you need to succeed as we head into the 2020s. Now, it lists five essential skills, and they are being able to adapt, being creative, developing emotional intelligence, which is an interesting one, becoming tech savvy, which of course we can expect, and also building your personal brand. So it makes me curious as to which of these you guys think are perhaps the most essential for you, or whether you have something else in mind.
Okay, the one I know I fail terribly is tech savvy, and you all know that for a fact.
No, what are you talking about, Shani?
This is my number one failure in life. You know, I still can't understand GIFs. I'm like, what are GIFs? Where do you get them from? And then you all laugh at me.
Yeah,
like,
I just
like some secret code. You don't want to tell me where it comes from. And I'm like,
I admit, I just refuse to show Xiaoning where to find the GIFs on her WhatsApp because I don't want her to take my title of GIF queen.
I will teach you later. I'll show you how to do it right now.
I was like, wow, you have so much. It's like magic. Where do you all get it from? I realize it's so dirty.
You know, but that's a skill in itself. I have friends who just know the right GIF for the right moment in a conversation. It's like they have it all catalogued and tagged somewhere.
Yes, that's me.
Oh, great.
Okay, so I fail in the tech savvy.
Lin has adapted very well to the new modes of communication. So you're one-fifth there, plus you're tech savvy, so you're two-fifths there.
No, I'm not tech savvy.
So Lin is two-fifths there on the way of 40%.
Yes.
What about, are you creative, Lin? I mean, you do so things. You've made a little R2-D2, so she's creative as well.
Whoa.
Wow, Wawa-san here, man.
Almost perfect score.
Almost. And then
I think the key here is almost, but I think creative here is not necessarily talking about what it is you can, like your handicraft skills, but being creative in the workplace is kind of its own separate skill, isn't it?
Thinking out the box.
Yeah, being able to really, to generate ideas and to generate workable ideas is kind of the next step. Because, you know, if you walk into an office, a team meeting, and all of your ideas are so far into outer space that they're just not feasable, then that's also, it may be creative, but it's just, how do you implement it?
Elon Musk missed your memo, clearly, but he has gone really, really far. So
yes,
maybe,
really into outer space. Huh?
Yeah, so maybe it works. Sometimes you do have to be super creative, right?
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I think the most important one here is the adapt to thrive, right? Because when we just look at things like how things are changing, the rate of doubling when it comes to whatever we're doing now is increasing. You know, things like back
when
in the
90s. When you say rate of doubling.
So whatever it is, whether it is how fast things, rate of change of life, of technology, of and then there's a little bit of a disconnect between urbanized societies and rural societies. But being able to adapt to that is essential for you to thrive, because 10 years ago, things were so much different. And now the way we work, the way we operate, the way we live is different. Mm-hmm. And it's only been 10 years, let alone if you look at people who grew up in the 80s or the 70s or even earlier than that.
You're talking about me, guys.
And are you saying that life hasn't changed significantly?
Significantly. Yeah. I don't know whether it's fair. I'm just one person. But I do think like the 2010 to 2019, just poof, the amount of changes that went on technologically, work-wise, just in terms of like even cars, appliances, modern living, streaming, it was so fast. And I think a lot of it had to do with the internet, right? I'll be honest. And yeah, it's a little bit sometimes overwhelming. But I guess the idea is to have that very open mind and to kind of, you know, allow, jokes aside about my GIF, embrace it in a way and enjoy the modern technology, but at the same time, be mindful that big data is watching.
Yeah, so I think for me, a good example of adaptation is actually my father, right? Because my father's a huge computer geek and for over the past couple of weeks, it's been very amusing for me to watch him try to hack the code on his computers. Because he has been readapting and reconfiguring his entire IT system, and this is a man who, in his early 20s, saw the first computers come into being, and his university carried, like, he was one of the students that carried these massive 1 kilobyte. Storage drives up the stairs into their brand new computer lab.
You mean the computers that today the same power is in our smartphones? Or actually, our smartphones
our
are probably tremendously more powerful than that.
I think
your dad's more tech savvy than I am. He's doing code.
My father's really tech savvy. Yeah, he's been installing Ubuntu over the past few days onto his.
So he's on his 2020 checklist. I mean, I think he's doing quite well. So like daughter, like father, I guess. But and one of the things that's been talked a lot about since the dawn of the social media age, since it really thrived, is personal branding. Everyone is building their own personal brand, right? Outside of the company's own brand.
Mm-hmm.
Football clubs have their own brand, but they also make it, it's important that the players have their own public personalities to it's more relatable in some aspects. So personal branding is, Shani's giving me a face, so I'm going to see what she has to say. What's up?
Well, you guys, I always think that it's a bit more complicated than that. Maybe it's a generational thing, whether someone's private life or someone's life should be out there in social media, right? Whether it is in Twitter, Facebook, whatever. I have my reservations, but I understand the power of it and how important it can be to a marketing activity and also how it adds value. It's just where the boundaries, right? That's my big question.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think privacy is going to be it is already and will continue to be a major issue here.
Yeah, the problem is that it's now becoming much more expected, not just from individual, say, celebrities, but also from corporate brands, right? To be relatable and accessible on social media. So how do you navigate around this? You know what? You can let us know what you think about this subject that we've been discussing. For you, what are the essential skills that will help you succeed in the 2020s? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a few messages coming up for you, and then we'll be talking about social circles. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Everlasting Light by The Black Keys, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shanning and Roshan. Now, taking a look at this story this morning from Fast Company. I mean, have you heard the saying that you are the average of five people you spend the most time with? So that's something that was said by motivational speaker John Ron. So Fast Company's article basically takes that concept and runs with it, because it's looking at how to decide if your social circle maybe needs a little bit of a revamp in 2020. Because if you think that if you can think of that one person who's maybe maybe makes you a little bit upset, maybe makes you maybe feels a little bit toxic, and you can summon the anger that you feel around that person, then they are still definitely part of your framework, and maybe you need to start looking at changing that framework. At least according to this article.
And I'm looking at y'all because y'all are the five.
Because she's going to cut us out of her life.
Yeah, because there's three of y'all here. So three, now I've got another two more. That's about right. That sums up the Morning Run team. I spend the most time with you guys. Do you realize that? And likewise, right?
Yes, it's true. We all have a bit of an unhealthy connection with our work family. So we just spend way too much time in the office with each other. But at least, you know, the benefit of this, right, is that you are both very smart people. You are all very smart people and you're very interesting to talk to.
Wow, Lynn won some brownie. This is her brownie point score, right?
Lynn knows that this is all on the record. That's why she's willing to say all these things.
They're behind our back, right?
Yeah, behind our back, different lie. You know, that's how people are.
But as if. I'm going on the record to say that I am angling for fruitcake from Charlie. That's it.
Okay, I will bring fruitcake.
Slight conflict of interest between the comments and the what you want. But let's... this is a big thing, right? The people that you surround yourself with subtly influence your behavior in one way or another. You can deny it, you cannot deny it, but a lot of science
is
pointing to that direction. So whether it is having toxic people around you, then it subtly influences to also be toxic. If everyone is just complaining, then you are also more likely to join in because there's also that tribe mentality that we have.
Yeah, it's peer pressure thing going on, right?
On the reverse side, if you're just surrounded by overachievers, you're more likely to feel that you're not doing enough, and then because it's the idea that everyone's better than you, and then your self-esteem gets affected. So what's the secret? Finding balance, and that's not easy to find, so not really being any help here, but being able to be aware and point out the things that you may want to improve in 2020. That's the first step. If you feel this one person in your life makes you feel a little uncomfortable, or it's not really, not to sound transactional, but beneficial to your life, in not just in monetary, but just in general field, then maybe it's time to reassess that relationship.
Yeah, so maybe look at the five people that you're closest with, right? And try and be objective as possible about each person and what they bring to the friendship, right? And what they mean to you. And just think, when in your communication, your interaction with them, are they positive people? Are they helpful people? Are they kind to you? You know, are they a good friend? Will they bend over backwards and help you? And it's not because of who you are or what you can bring to the office. And I'm looking at all of y'all. But aside from that, and then make that decision, right? Because some people really are sadly toxic. And they can be, you know, unfortunately, one of the five people that you interact most with.
Yeah, and the thing is also, some people don't realize maybe that they have started to exhibit toxic behavior. So part of this article also deals with how to address people already in your social circle who perhaps make you uncomfortable or make you unhappy. And it's really just about setting boundaries. Say if you have that one friend who is constantly coming to you to complain, to the point that when you see them coming or you run, you kind of feel that sinking sensation in your chest. You're like, oh no, I have to set myself up and brace myself to smile through the complaints.
Or take that deep breath, you know, as you see them walking. Yeah, I've been there
then
before.
Then maybe you need to actually have that conversation with them to say, hey, you know, I understand that you feel very unhappy, but... you know, this is also affecting my mood. So I'm going to have to step away if you feel like you really need to complain to someone.
Yeah. And I mean, it's very important to assess these relationships and how they impact you. But it's also important to not create a bubble around you as well. Mm-hmm. Right. You need people who are honest, who are going to be honest with you, who are going to sit down and have hard conversations with you. Because this has happened in my own life where I've been that person, that pain in the social group. I've been negative. And it was a few years ago, a phase of my life, as I say.
The grumpy Roshan.
Yeah, very different. And, you know, close friends sat down and were like, okay, listen, let's talk about this. This is a social intervention. And very recently...
But these are good friends.
These are good friends.
Yeah, because they call you out.
Willing to go through the hard things. And it's not about, oh, you are this. It's about, hey, we are feeling this. What's going on? Getting to the root of that problem. And then recently, a similar situation happened again. So it's not about just cutting people out and leaving them away. And also, it's not about carving out this perfect bubble of everyone reinforcing your behavior.
Because you don't want to establish an echo chamber, yes.
Because if you have cronies around you who are willing to just agree with everything you're saying, that's also not a good environment.
And who can we think of when we name that crony who's, you know, the person who surrounded himself with so many cronies?
I don't know what you're talking about, Shanning. I am simply talking about, in my personal life, anyone who's just who is simply a yes man or yes woman can be construed as a personal crony, I guess.
Yeah, look how far you can fall when you're just surrounded by people who say yes to you all the time.
Because you get divorced from reality, and that's at the end of it, I think, really just an unfortunate situation because you won't see the fall coming. So let us know what you think. Do you think your social circle is in need of an upgrade? And if so, how? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We are heading into the 6:30 news now, but first, here to take you there is Brian Adams with Somebody, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Hypocritical Kiss by Jack White, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wong Xiaoning and Roshan Kanisan. Now, very recently, there has been some pushback over social media on the decision by the police to ask a school to take down its Chinese New Year decorations. And this is after the school reportedly received complaints from parents and even possibly threats from a senior leader of Perkasa to lodge a report if the decorations were not taken down because they were perceived to have religious connections. Now, the IGP has since then come out to say that they are going to be investigating the author of the letter that criticised this school in Puchong. And it's given rise to quite a lot of furor and a lot of debate over whether or not the police should have gone about the investigation the way they did, because at least initially it was seen as, you know, why are the police intervening in a school decoration? And you know, the kind of question that immediately surfaces is, don't they have other things on their plate?
Definitely, you would think that there are like other crimes which are more important. And when is celebrating Chinese New Year with decorations something that the police should kind of wade into? You know, what's this all about at the end of the day?
I think the police primary duty is safety, right? And how they go about that is, it's probably this way. They've done it before where they err on the side of where's the solution? Basically, how can we achieve this so that there's no issue that pops out of this? And yes, maybe they shouldn't have advised the school to take down the decorations. But I guess this is a larger culture that needs to change, because in other countries, the police are present, right? In the States, whether it's a protest that's a right-wing or a left-wing protest, the cops are there, especially, and even if it's deemed potentially dangerous, the cops are around to make sure that everything goes according to plan, that no one does anything. That's their job. That's how they protect safety. But here, it's more of just a nip in the bud. Let's not escalate things. And whether it's good or bad, is, I guess, something that we're going to have to see how that goes going forward. Because you want to, when it comes to these sort of things, I think culturally we err on the side of safety. We err on the side of caution. And I don't envy the job that the cops have in this situation.
But that's the point I'm uncomfortable with. Why should we err on the side of caution when it comes to, let's just say, what is it? When you look at the pictures, right, it was just a school, honestly, a school celebrating Chinese New Year. There were some lanterns. It looked perfectly fine. Why is it suddenly become such a hot button issue that someone can, you know, write a letter and then everyone gets jittery over it?
Okay, so my biggest issue with generally how the police react to it is not whether, it's not, you know, should they take this measure to preserve safety? I think at the end of the day, I agree that is their job. Their job is to keep the peace in whatever way they think is best. But the problem is, for me, turning the responsibility onto event organizers, onto the school which puts up decorations, it smacks of victim blaming. right? Because it does not address the real problem, which is the people making the threats.
Yes.
Now they're coming out to say that they're going to be investigating the letter because they found elements of incitement and intimidation. And I think that's good. But I think they should have perhaps done that to begin with and kind of foregone this whole, maybe you should take it down, you know, for the sake of preserving harmony, because
there's no end to it, if you ask me, right? Because we live in a multiracial, multicultural society, right? Everyone should respect each other. So if you start, you know, worrying about this decoration, that decoration, every festival comes, we will have issues like this. I mean, it just borders to the point where, when does it all make any sense at all?
Yeah, but as you when what you said, Roshan, I think is really the key problem here. It is a culture change, a mentality change that is needed. You know, why do we see that, you know, threatening to make a police report because you offended my sensibilities, why is that the default reaction to things that we don't agree with? Why can't we sit down and actually have conversations about it instead?
Yes, and I don't know whether that's the police's job, right? Whether they are supposed to mediate these conversations. Their job is to ensure, to the best of their ability, safety. Now, yes, they can go after the letter writer, but that's not an immediate action. And if they are significantly concerned about escalation, then we have these laws. These are things that they have within their repertoire of responses.
But they
correct. They could have done that. I'm not saying that it was right. I'm trying to just look at why this could have possibly happened. And I mean, the government has come out to say that it was wrong, that it was advised, it shouldn't have done. A whole delegation went there. I mean, the top brass of the government was at the school yesterday, signing lanterns. Lim Guan Eng was there, Dato Sri Wan Aziza was there, Gobind Singh was there. They were all there. The full-fledged, the Avengers of Pakatan Harapan were all present at the school yesterday. And I guess this shows...
And rightly so, because that's the message you want to send out,
and
right?
It's a very positive messaging from the government, because a lot of times they seem to shy away from this, but this time they were like, okay, maybe we need to come in and show that there is unity in this. Everyone needs to be able to celebrate their own festive seasons. This is supposedly a multicultural society, a melting pot, and we need to be able to do that, and without fear of repercussions.
Yes, without fear.
Exactly. And I do think that it's also worth mentioning that the cabinet, this is an excellent move by the cabinet. Let's hope that they can continue to show this consistency going forward. Now, do let us know what you think. If you want to weigh in on this, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a few messages coming up for you now, and then we'll be taking a look at the front page of the newspapers. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was You're the One by Tracy Chapman, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Shaoning and Roshan. Now, thank you very much for your messages this morning. We have had a couple of tweets and WhatsApps. What do we have from our listeners this morning?
This is from Philip, who said the authorities, including the police, shouldn't react every time some small brain toot makes noise.
Yeah, and we got another WhatsApp in here that pointed out that I made a mistake just now. It was not Perkasa, it was Putra that wrote in the letter. So thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, so on Twitter, we also have a comment from Ramli Sirap, who says, little known to the public, the Avengers of Pakatan Harapan didn't specifically visit the school, but were out test driving their new Velfires and decided to drop by. So a little bit tongue-in-cheek there, Ramli. SA also says, you can see how solid DAP's support is if it's something related to Chinese education. The finance minister came down, but talking about non-Chinese matters, DAP Malaysia couldn't be bothered. I mean, it wasn't just the finance minister that came down, right? It was the full force of the cabinet. So I think it does say something that all of them decided to show a united front on this. And I guess we'll have to wait and see what are reactions to other cultural festivals. But hopefully there aren't any, because hopefully we won't need to be having this conversation about the next Hari Raya or Deepavali or Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can all learn to enjoy each other's festivities. You know, it's part of being Malaysian, right? Since when is it a bad thing?
So taking a look also at the front pages of the newspapers, I think most of them this morning are talking about 1MDB or the MACC or something along that vein, because of course the Star hits it right on the head with this headline: 9 audio recordings out in the open. And this was from an MACC release yesterday of audio recordings totaling about, I think, 45 minutes, involving private conversations between Datuk Sri Najib Razak and other individuals, including Datin Sri Rosmah Mansor, Tan Sri Zulkifli, who is the MACC chief. It's caused quite a lot of uproar over the past day or so.
Yeah, it's the same for the financial Edge Financial Daily. Their headline is: Najib sought fake loan to clean money. Stepson received recorded phone conversations show ex-premier requested UAE Crown Prince to fabricate loan agreement. That's one headline. And then on the Malaysian Reserve, the headline is: MACC reveals audio on alleged attempt to cover up 1MDB. And I think this is going to play out in the headlines or in the newspapers over the next few days, because there's quite a lot to take in over those 45 minutes of conversation.
Yeah, and over on the NST, similarly, we have a picture of Dr. Sri Najib Razak on the left, and the headline here is explosive. But they've got covering two stories with this. One is the expose by the MACC, all those recordings that have come out, but also the developments in the Middle East. So we've got it's quite a stark front page, actually, the differences between the two photos. And some of the headlines that are coming out based on the recordings include things like they show abuse of power, the pointing out the royal help that they sought for Riza. So these are all things that are, I guess, like Lynn said, these are stories that are like Xiaoning, you said, these are things that are going to be covered for the next, not just today, I think it's going to cover for a few days at least. But we also have just the developments in the Middle East and now what the escalating and now sort of de-escalating tensions.
It's like a daily
US
thing, you know, honestly.
Yeah, what that means and how reactions will go forth after this.
But with regards to the 1MDB story, we will be talking about this at the 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. hour. I think we're going to dissect some portions of the calls and maybe understand the significance of the calls in relation to this whole 1MDB SRC issue. But the other thing I want to highlight is on page 6 of the Malaysian Reserve, which is that our cabinet has apparently selected its acting education minister.
Oh, okay. That's quite an interesting development.
But we don't know the specifics, though. And that's something that was asked of our finance minister, Lim Guan Eng. He did not want to reveal the name. But he said that the announcement will be made by our Prime Minister Tun at a time deemed appropriate. I like that. So watch this space.
Maybe they haven't told the person yet and it's going to be a surprise. It's like, everyone keep this a secret. We've decided on who our acting education minister is going to be, but we haven't told him or her yet.
Well, it is honestly, let's be honest, it's a really tough job. I mean, there's a lot to do and not much time left, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's generally, I think generally going into politics and going into the cabinet is really quite thankless. Education, particularly since it is such a large portfolio, always in the public eye. Hopefully we will see the name of the acting education minister revealed to us soon. We'll be bringing you that news as soon as we get it. But right now we are about to head into the 7 o'clock news. And then after that, we have the business end of the morning run. So be sure to stay tuned for that. But first, here's Dangerous Blues by The Young Veins, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.